Welcome to Because We Make, the podcast about making, creativity, and why we do what we do as makers and creatives. I'm your host, Vincent Ferrari, and joining me as always, my right-hand man and co-host, Ethan Carter.
What's going on, Vincent?
It's happy day. We don't call it Monday anymore because everybody gets confused for some reason.
No, see, and I'm doubling down on it. I think we got to own it. You know, everyone makes fun of us for promoting, for me promoting it on Monday, us talking about it on Monday. But
Grant's story last week was
it was pretty funny. I got to give him credit. But that's why I can't change now. Everyone's used to it now. So
exactly. So before, let's get the elephant out of the room. Mm-hmm. I didn't put a bumper at the beginning of last week's episode. I probably should have, but screw it. I didn't. The audio quality last week was a mess. But believe me, were it not for Grant, it would have been significantly worse.
Hero. In fact,
there was no episode without what Grant did. So essentially cast ate our recording again.
Second time in like a month, right?
Yes. So we lost the Johnny Lambert episode and we lost the episode with Grant, essentially. But Grant took his audio and he sat there for a whole day and edited his audio to make it fit into the podcast so that we had a listenable podcast. So literally Grant Alexander saved Because We Make last week. So
huge shout out to him.
I've recommended Cast a million times over and I will no longer be recommending them. And you want to hear the great irony of the whole thing? So they got into a pissing contest with me on Twitter. Yeah. Cause I kept calling them out for not answering mm-hmm. their emails. And they said, for the record, we did answer your email and we didn't get a response. I was like, for the record, I responded twice and your excuse is that your support system doesn't work. And that just doesn't work for me. I'm sorry. So they said, well, and I said, I already canceled my account. I tweeted at Zencaster. I said, I hope you guys do a better job of keeping us. I mean, I was with Cast for like three years.
We talked about Cast as being the best hands, and it was. I mean, to their credit, for a year or a year plus that we were using it, there were zero problems. But then 100%. All of a sudden,
well, and you know what? So now we're using Zencaster. So mm-hmm. welcome to Zencaster. And the cool thing is, Zencaster has a video beta that they're working on. So we may very soon, if we get into the beta, we may have a video version of the podcast.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Which means it'll start being a pants podcast.
Oh man,
I know. So. You guys already know. I mean, we might as well just bring our guest on because you guys already know who it is. Because we, the first time in show history, we actually pre-announced a guest, which that's a major no-no, but we did it this time because we wanted people to know that this one was coming.
Well, and I want to say too that he agreed to it before we chose his video of the week. So,
that's a good point.
To his credit,
We should actually note that and. That's a good point. I didn't even think of that. We've only ever had one person get video of the week while they're on the show, and that was Chris from Cowdog. Of course, it was Chris from Cowdog. Mm-hmm. Everything weird that happens on the show is somehow connected.
Well, and it's full circle because it was his thing of the week is our guest.
Yep. It's so weird, right? It all comes around. So our guest this week is someone who is not himself a maker, as far as I know, and I guess we'll get to that, but I'm pretty sure not, but is tangentially immersed in the maker community in a way that a lot of makers actually aren't, which is kind of cool. We have the one and only Justin Mabee. Hi, Justin.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going good, quite man. Well. Lisa,
you
we went from
a piece of history here.
Yeah,
yeah, definitely. We've actually gone now from me not knowing who you were.
Yeah, I don't think when Chris talked about him, you didn't know about him, right?
I had no idea who you were, dude. And what was really funny is your reaction on your stories when I said that was just gold. It was just absolute gold. I was laughing and I felt so horrible. I'm going to actually publicly apologize. And I know you said it didn't bother you that much, but there was one point in the show where I said, so basically he's doing what I wanted to do with Because We Make, but he's doing it on video. And as I finished that episode, I was like, oh my God, why did you say that? I felt awful. And I to my credit, I recognized it and I apologized immediately to Justin. But Justin,
for the record, I don't even remember you saying that. It has not stuck with me. I do remember you not knowing who I was, which, I mean, nobody really does. So there's no harm there.
But that's a good, I mean, for what you do, that's actually a good thing, right? Because you're not polluting, don't take that the wrong way. God, Jesus, I just can't say anything nice to you.
So, Ethan, you want to have a side?
Tag me in.
you're not the focus of your videos to the point where, you know, we see your finished product, but we don't even know
your work is what.
Yeah,
it's what it is. It's not you as a personality. And I think that's, again, I think that's a great thing. But I will say this, is that when you do put your personality into stories or anything like that, it's fantastic. So I think that is a good thing. But I think you, well, again, correct us if we're wrong, but I think you are careful about that. I think you want your videos to be about the subject and not about you, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the whole goal. And that started a while ago. One of my first jobs in the industry was with a tool company. It was Laguna. And I started a series with them. It didn't last all too long, but that's solely because I left for another job. But I started a series with them called Laguna Artisans. And previously, I had been doing these short documentaries about how people utilize their CNCs in different creative ways and all sorts of varieties of production. But anyway, when it came to profiling people, especially content creators or people who are using more of the hand tools and bandsaws and table saws and stuff like that, I thought of making it more about the individual and showing that they're using the tools without actually saying the tools' names out loud or Laguna's name whatsoever. You know, there's a bumper at the beginning that says Laguna, and then here is this person's life as it is right now, and then sprinkled throughout, here's them using Laguna's equipment and whatnot, and showing rather than telling. And I think that it took off fairly well and provided a lot of insight as to who these people were, so that you kind of fell more in love with them. And then, you know, through marketing tactics, you'd like the tools.
Well, I think that's so smart. And I think, well, a couple of things. I think one, people are going to connect more to a person than to a tool or, you know, an object, right? So that's smart right there. I think it's also the brand, like that is what brands should be wanting right now, is the passive connection and, you know, not the in your face. And there's very few brands, I think, right now that still don't, there's so many brands that don't get it still. And I think the most successful kinds of promotion is product placement and just showing how the tool is used and then connecting the user so that they don't even know that they're getting, you know, advertised, right? I mean, yeah. Let's be honest, right?
Yeah.
So Justin, how did you get, like, so was that your first time working with a tool company? How did you get started in this field? And a little bit about your background, I guess, actually. Like, how did you get to where you were working with Laguna?
Yeah, so Laguna was my first kind of step into this whole world. But getting there, I had done video my whole life. Not my whole life, but starting in middle school, I had really messed around a lot with video, shooting video and editing video, and never really thought that it would come to be anything. It just wasn't in my mind as what a career path would be.
Mm-hmm.
And then come time for picking a major to go to school, I just figured, hey, what the heck? It's something I've always done. That would be cool if I could make something out of it. So went to school, got out, did some photography jobs, got myself working full-time in the music industry in LA for a company that did social media for a lot of really big name artists and bands. So that was cool, but just did not pay well, because who wouldn't want that job, you know, to work with these celebrities straight out of college?
Right.
Yeah. So you don't have to pay a lot to get people to want that.
Yeah. So I was working like 80 hour weeks and getting paid just total garbage. And
when was this, like, approximately?
I graduated in 2017, so this would have been 2018.
Wait,
okay.
Wait.
No, this would have been 2017 still.
Wait a minute. Wait, what? How old are you?
I'm 26. Yeah, I'm 26.
Oh, my God. I'm so uncomfortable right now. I honestly had no idea you were this young. That's amazing.
Well, isn't it? I mean, I hate when people that are younger than me are so much more
I know.
Polished and
yeah. Let's not talk about the accomplishments of someone 20 years younger than me. Jesus.
You mean that as a compliment, Justin?
Yeah, I absolutely mean this.
Thank you.
I really do have to qualify everything I say because everything is meant with good intentions. That is an insult. I can't help it.
Yeah, no, I appreciate
I'm sorry.
It. Might be a little unwarranted, but I'll take it. Yeah, so that was 2017. I really, really needed out of it. It was just bad. It was kind of a toxic work environment. That company's not a company anymore. So anyway, I really needed a job. And at this point, I have no background in woodworking, making tools, anything whatsoever. So I'm applying for jobs left and right as much as I can. And Laguna posted a job ad. And it was like, you know, on Indeed or something, and it was just minutes prior to me looking, and it what they were asking for was definitely within my capabilities. So I walked in the next morning after applying with a resume and business card, asked if I could speak to the hiring manager. They got him out, and this guy, who'd later be one of my better friends, his name's Nick. I gave my pitch, you know, as quick as possible, and he goes, "Hey, do you have 5 minutes to talk?" And I'm like, what am I going to say? No? Like, yeah.
You know, I'm sorry.
Actually, I'm kind of in a rush.
I don't really feel like squeezing you in right now. I got things to do.
Exactly. So I had a couple interviews that day. And a week later, you know, I'd follow up. And he said they'd like to hire me and would later admit that they got so many job applications submitted that he didn't feel like looking through them all. That was the only one he met. So that's how I got that job, you know, based on merit.
Sometimes right place, right time, right?
Exactly. So Laguna really introduced me to everything. I didn't know what a bandsaw was versus a table saw. I didn't know what a lathe was. So Nick would say, "Hey, Justin, go out into the showroom and take a picture of the new bandsaw." And he'd have to basically hold my hand and point this one.
Put a post-it on it so I know which one to do.
So, man, I experienced my first everything at Laguna. So that's how I met some people. Including a content creator I go work for after Laguna, including April, who I work for full time now.
April Wilkerson, for anyone that doesn't know.
Yes.
Although I highly doubt anyone listening to this podcast doesn't know who April is, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, wow. I worked BingeCon. I kept calling her April Wilkerson. People were giving me these looks like, we know who April is. So then I finally referred to April as April. I don't know if you guys know Growler Domestics, and he was, he genuinely had no idea who she was. He didn't know who anybody was. He was
he definitely didn't. I mean, we're buddies now, but he had no idea who I was. Yeah, and vice versa, I didn't know who he was either. So
yeah, but he was just like, "Who's April?" So you know, because I'm saying most people, you know, might know who April is in this little community we have, but not everybody.
It is kind of funny how, you know, somebody blows up in the periphery. Like there have been people that Ethan introduced me to since I've known him. And it's like this person, you know, thousands of followers on YouTube, thousands of followers on Instagram. And I'm like, who, you know, it's so funny how you kind of get tunnel vision to the people, you know, and then there's this whole world happening, like the world, your blinders have to be tilted out a little bit more so you can see more of what's going on.
Well, again, and our community is big, but it's not that big. I mean, not to stroke April's ego or, you know, any of the bigger content creators, but I mean, they are our all-stars, right? There are famous people. And that's why people like WorkbenchCon so much, is because you get to actually interact with them and like meet them. But, you know, in the grand scheme of things, I don't think any of them think of themselves as celebrities. They are in our little community, but they're not in the grand scheme of things. Right.
Yeah. I mean, we've had this discussion with all of them that have been on this show, even no matter how big they are, you know, they always say the same thing, that I'm just a guy, you know, just a guy. And
well, I was talking to Johnny this week, Johnny Builds. There you go. Johnny Builds mentioned. and he said, "I'm just like you and Vince. And I'm a guy that's trying to have a whole side business and content creation while doing a full-time job. I'm no different than you guys." And I don't believe that, but that's how he feels. And I mean, there is truth to that, right? It's like, we are all people, right?
We really do. You know, you do get a bit of star worship It is kind of weird. Like, you try not to. You try to be like, you know, we try to keep it on a level playing field, but it's hard. You know, most of the people that I've talked to, that you've talked to, that we've talked to on this podcast are people that inspired us to actually be a part of this community in the first place. So when you get a guy that comes on, it's like, oh my God, you're the reason I'm doing this. How am I supposed to look at you as just like a peer? You know, you're not a peer to me. You're never going to be a peer to me. But
So Justin, to me, like that, I mean, I feel like you have an interesting angle or perspective on that. Because you didn't come into it being a fanboy like we are in terms of the makers and the community and stuff like that. Like, you came into it for, you know, that's, you were working and stuff like that. But like, is it weird when you hear people like us talking about April as like a, you know, an icon, you know, not icon that, but like,
no, that's exactly,
yeah, as an icon. Like, is that weird for you to hear? Cause you hang out with her every day, right?
Yeah. I don't know if weird is like how I would describe it, because I don't know, like, I'm not trying to, you know, pull a flex on you, but with working in the music industry and whatnot, and just kind of growing up in that area, you'd see a lot of people, you know, celebrities and whatnot. So then I was working with them, you know, just A-list music artists kind of thing. So coming into this whole world, I've already kind of came into an understanding that these are people who go potty just like the rest of us kind of thing.
Yeah,
allegedly.
On a walnut toilet.
An unnecessary walnut and resin toilets. Yes, exactly.
But when I first did a video with April, I was told, you're going to go shoot a video on this maker, and this is what she does, and she's a big deal. So, you know, of course, I hadn't heard of her up until that point. So when I land in Texas and I go to her place, it doesn't have any effect on me whatsoever, because
it's
so far removed from my background. But like I said, I get it. I got it from the beginning that, oh wow, there's this whole community that I never had any idea existed. And it's kind of opened up my mind about what other communities exist, no matter what kind of thing it could possibly be. They're all out there. So like you said, it's small, but it's big. Like, it's, it's small in the sense that everybody knows each other for the most part, but big in the sense that, like, it's just, there's a lot of backing. You could just look at, you know, people's follower counts and go, holy crap, there's a lot going on here.
Well, and the support and the you know, I think this probably with every kind of subset is like this, but there's a huge amount of support with the making community, at least from my perspective, and I'd be interesting to know what you think about it. But like, we consider ourselves, actually, let me put it that way, we consider ourselves a very supportive and you know, the tide rises kind of community. Do you think that's the same, again, looking at the music industry and any other experiences you had, do you think that's true, or is it, you know, are we kind of just feel that way?
Are you talking about specifically the maker community?
Yeah,
totally. I think that's one of the things I fell in love about it. Like, at first, you know, working at Laguna, it was like, okay, this is a stepping stone kind of job. I kind of get to refine my skills, and then someday I'll get out of this kind of thing. But once I started meeting people and getting more into it, like I said, started working for a different content creator, getting introduced to more people, everybody was just so nice. And man, like, WorkbenchCon was, this was my first year ever going, this year. Dude, it was so cool, man. Everybody was so dang nice. You know, of course you have your couple people here and there like you do in any place, but man, the maker community was so cool. That has been so cool.
So when did you get the initial idea for, because you do something different with your YouTube channel, because in our space, everybody's doing, let's be honest, everyone's doing project videos, how-to videos, DIY videos, those kind of things. But you don't do those. You are, for lack of a better explanation, you're kind of a documentarian of the maker community.
Right.
How did you come about that idea as something you wanted to pursue? And how did you get that off the ground and get the idea moving and get your first, you know, your first video done and all that stuff? Like, how did it really get rolling for you?
And I'm so thankful that you did.
Yes, very much so.
It was kind of a mix between a couple things. But the main thing was, you know, going back to the maker community being so cool, is WorkbenchCon was really a tipping point. Like, I had been kind of building up until that point, like, wow, I'm learning a lot. These people are really cool. And I'm learning that, like, woodworking isn't just all these things that I hate, like getting dirty and sweaty. There's a lot of creativity that goes into this. Like, there's a lot of art here. Yeah. And mm-hmm. I don't know how to explain that to my family, my friends back at home. Like, how do I convey this? Like, I wish I could just show them, like, this person is so cool. Look at the stuff they do, but also look at the process it takes to get there. So when I went to WorkbenchCon, I met so many cool people, and I was on such a high, like, man, somebody's got to tell these people stories. So I walk away thinking, you know what? I can do that. And then also now have an opportunity to have my own creative freedom, just because
right.
I, you know, always worked for people and still do. And that's great. That's awesome. I love job security, but this would kind of let me just have my own outlet and be my own boss in that sense. At least my own like director. So here I thought I had this super original idea, but Vincent can tell you otherwise. Like, I'm thinking, like, what do I call it? Meet the Makers. YouTube that to make sure nothing else is called that. And man, has this been done so many times before. But the only thing is that it seems like many people, at least in the video aspect of it, have kind of dropped off on doing it.
Yeah.
So I could not come up with a name that hadn't already been used. So I just kind of used my brand name as like, okay, we'll just use Call Me Maybe, but that won't be the main title. The main title will just be the person's name. And
yeah.
Well, it's worked out. It's worked out really well for you. I mean, one of the things that's striking about your videos is how damn good they are. And I don't just mean, oh, this is a good video. Like, I enjoyed this. I mean, like, your technical proficiency to me. I mean, I always talk about Mary Lou. Mary Lou comes up in every conversation because Mary Lou is a proper, you know, film school person, yeah. Like, thinks about shots, storyboards her videos. I don't know a whole lot of people that do this. I know people make good videos, but I know her process because we had her on the show.
Right.
And, you know, I watch your videos and it's just like these, if you extended it, you know, maybe if you doubled the length of your average videos, you could easily be a weekly TV series that I would be riveted to the TV to watch. And it's amazing the amount of production skill that you have when you produce your videos. It's freaking fantastic.
And I keep saying this, and I mean this in like, I hope you don't take this in a bad way at all. I keep relating your production quality or your style to The Craftsman Legacy, which is a PBS show that I absolutely love. And I keep saying that you do that better than they do, and they have a whole production team. And mm-hmm. I'm not just saying this. I truly mean this. You do a better job of telling the story in a way that's engaging and tells a story, but is also really like, it's really related. It's really directed at the type of person that you're showcasing and what they do and telling their story in a way that's really, really well, high end production quality. And you're one person. And that's what always gets me is just like you do. And it's similar to what Jimmy Dross always talks about with cable TV versus he left cable TV and he started his YouTube channel to stick it to them. Like, you can do this if you're talented like you are. Like, yeah. It's amazing and it's beautiful work. So
that's a big compliment. I really appreciate that.
So the question I always wanted to ask you, and I'm kind of glad that I have you here now because I can ask it. So you decide you're going to do this, and the trap that you could easily fall into is, oh, what are you making? Let me show what you're making. Here's what you're making. Then you go home and you look at your footage and all you have is project footage, right?
Right.
But you don't do that. In fact, the projects themselves take a back seat to what you're talking about. You really are. And
right.
I pride myself, and I'm speaking for me and Ethan here. We do the same thing. We really try to focus mainly on the people that are on rather than what they're working on. Because what you're working on, we all know that, right? I know what, you know, on any given day, I know what Chris Salamone's probably going to make. That's not to say he's predictable. I just mean that I know what he's making projects, right? I don't need to interview him to find out about his projects. His projects are right there in front of us. But if I want to get a deep dive of the person, that's why you have him on the podcast. Did you set out like to consciously do that, or was that just kind of a happy accident?
No, that was definitely part of it. And like I was talking about that quick kind of Laguna series I did, it was the same exact thing essentially, where let me get shots of you doing what you do so that that makes sense and we can see that, you know, you have a bit of authority behind it. But what people don't know is the person. And I think, you know, last week you guys talked about Brandy's video, which again, I appreciate, but I think that offered a perspective. Like most of us have met Brandy, especially at WorkbenchCon, and, you know, we all love her, but we don't know what happens back at home, what her home life is like. So just to use that as an example, I feel like, that is what a lot of us like to see. And sure enough, you know, people walk away thinking when Brandy can't get any cooler, she's cooler than they, you know, could have imagined.
And one of the things that was really obvious, like in the Brandy video, which made me just love it, is I know you don't do this in any video, but it was really obvious for that one. You don't speak in your videos. You let the VO is a continual audio track of the person you're talking to. So essentially they're doing the VO for your B-roll the entire time. And it's such a neat effect. Like I said earlier, it's like you don't exist in your videos. You're out of it. You are completely out of it. They're telling the story. It's not you doing a VO. We talked about that. You know, it's the guest is doing the talking. Which, you know, we get accused of not letting the guest talk about it. But I think that's fantastic.
But that's what's the beauty of, and I think that's the beauty of a good documentary person, is that you are telling the story. I mean, Justin was telling the story, but he wasn't using his words. He wasn't using his words. And the film and the footage and stuff like that. And you got a sense. I mean, you totally got a sense of who Brandy was. Who Brandy is, you know, her community, what drives her, all those things. And you didn't say a word, Justin. And I think, again, that's a huge skill set that I definitely would not have, you know?
Yeah. Ended up being my favorite class in school, which was unexpected. But I really appreciated that I could shoot something and tell a story. Like I really liked to keep it honest and you know, not throw in some sappy piano to make you feel something when maybe you wouldn't otherwise. I like it to just tell it with some authority. And yeah, I don't know. And it's just not about me. You know, the video, I want it to be about that person. And to think about it in this sense is that I am telling Brandy's story, her present self and her past self, in 10 minutes. And it's up to me to capture that honestly. And like, I really don't, it does not bug me the idea that maybe people won't like it. What really freaks me out is, what if Brandy hates this? What if she feels like this doesn't capture her?
Well, this is interesting because, Justin, we have a little surprise for you. We actually do have a fourth guest. And why don't you unmute yourself and introduce yourself, guest?
Hey, guys. Oh, my God. Hey, Sha, how you doing? Oh, my God.
So Vincent, I completely forgot that you were going to do it. So I'm just as surprised as just right now. I completely 100% forgot about this. Oh, my God.
So for those of you listening who don't remember this, we actually have the one and only Brandy Obey on. I asked her if she could pop by because I knew we would end up talking about this video. And I wanted to surprise Justin. And, you know, I know she's Ethan's adopted girlfriend and arm candy and whatever. So I figured we would have her on again and have her say hi. And this way, when we talk about the video, you know, we can kind of have all of you talk about it, which I think would be really, really cool. It's the first time we've ever had an extra guest, a surprise guest.
That's awesome. Right. I'm so glad I said nice things about Brandy.
Oh, I know. Right? We've been talking trash. That would have been
I hung up. I was dying. I was blushing. Thank you, so, Justin.
You guys, I mean, seriously, like we've seen Justin's work, you know, now that we've been made aware, and we've seen Justin's work, and it was just so cool to see a friend of ours talking to Justin. It's like, wow, this is amazing. It's like watching like when Fantasy Island meets Love Boat. Like, this is the greatest thing ever. So why don't, now that we've kind of broken the ice here, why don't you tell us how this particular collaboration came about? Because we just loved it so much, and I figured we might as well dive into it for a little while.
Yeah, and I'd love to hear Brandy's experience too.
Yeah, that'd
be on the other side of the camera.
Because I know Brandy's a nervous Nelly. She'll pretend she's not, but I know she is. So I can imagine that the idea of a documentarian coming to shoot a couple of days in her life probably made her go, oh, well, why?
Oh, my God.
That was her reaction. We told her to come on the podcast, and her first reaction was like, why do you want to talk to me?
Brandy, the whole time I saw you doing your on-camera shot, I was just like, my palms were sweating because I just was imagining myself sitting there. And so, yeah.
I know.
Go ahead, guys. Whoever wants to start, tell us how this collaboration came to be.
I'll fill in how I met Brandy, and Brandy can take it from there as far as the camera. But so prior to going to Workbench Con, I had kind of met, for I guess lack of a better term, some of the bigger names. You know, like I've been working with April already. I'd met Anne. So I knew of a lot of people, but Aaron, who goes by Maker Gray, I traveled with her to Workbench Con, and she was naming all these people she wants to meet, you know, including, you know, our friends Tyler Bell, and Brandy was one of them. And I just remembered she's listing off so many names of people she's excited to meet, but Brandy is this, you know, super cool chick who lives in Louisiana. She's got this funny accent. I'm like, okay, cool, right on. So right when we get there, she spots Brandy. She's like, oh, that's Brandy, Louisiana chick. Let's go talk to her. And Brandy is just a total sweetheart, and that's cool. So Brandy and I feel like we talk a couple times, but, you know, no big, long conversations.
Yeah.
And then, but came away, you know, knowing that she's rad. So a few weeks ago, we were on some kind of maker meetup online, similar to a Zoom, and Brandy's on there. And I've been talking since I first started my little channel. Brandy, I want to come and do a shoot with you. And while we're drinking on this podcast, I ask her where she lives. And my only experience in Louisiana is New Orleans. I know that's 8 hours away. And she tells me where she lives. And I look it up. And I'm like, Brandy, that's 5 hours. I can make that in no time. So the next day, I hit her up and make sure that we still agree on it sober. And Brandy,
always a smart move. Yeah.
No regrets.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. The everyone else who agreed to come with me, they ended up like, yeah, I don't know if I can swing that actually, but Brandy was still down.
So, I definitely would have agreed to it too, even being in Boston. So
I know. So, went to Brandy's.
So Vincent, you're absolutely correct. Whenever he said, hey, I want to do a video on you, I was like, okay, sure. Yeah, all right. You know, like, he didn't want to. Why would he want to do a video of me?
He's like, he's been drinking, right?
Clearly he's drunk. This is
this was on when he first started his YouTube.
I was still drinking then too, Brandy. Oh, this isn't a new thing.
Yeah. So let me tell you guys about working with Justin.
Yes.
He's amazing.
Of course he is.
He's such a sweetheart. And, I was nervous. What did you advise me to do before we started shooting, Justin? You want to tell him?
Brandy's not the first to take me up on this, but nervous Brandy, as you pointed out. Nervous, and I told her that it is not uncommon for me to offer my guests before they sit down to go have a private moment in their kitchen and have a shot or two of their favorite bourbon.
Absolutely, yeah.
Brandy marched on off and came back by 5 minutes later. I don't know if that was a shot's worth or a bottle's worth, but she was ready
I'm not
to go.
Telling.
And she had one of the better interviews I've ever shot. Oh, there was no stuttering or restarting, which I am terrible in front of a camera, so I can really appreciate it. And Brandy killed it.
Yeah.
Well, I've always feel like I'm better in person. The camera just does something. I don't know. There's just a layer of,
Well, no, yeah, Brandy, we've talked about this before too. I'm the same way. It's like, I'm not shy. I'm not, you know, I'm not a bad conversationalist. But the second that camera turns on, I'm like, blah, 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 you know, because like, I'm like, why is my mouth salivating so much while I'm, you know?
Like, why is mine dry? I can't. Right.
Speaking of dry mouth, I've been snipping sap. Oh, yeah, drinking the whole time. I've been drinking the whole time and not booze. So I can relate. Believe me, I can relate.
Hits you hard, man.
Oh yeah, I'll tell you. Oof, it's all that sugar.
Another aspect I do to kind of ease the nervousness is I tell them, like, feel free to look at me. I sit behind the camera, but I kind of poke my head out so you can feel like you're talking to a person instead of a machine. And Brandy's like, okay, I'm gonna do that. And then immediately just spoke to the camera the entire time. Everyone looked over. <camera. laughs> Seasoned professional.
Right. I missed my calling.
So you're in a really small town from what I can tell from that. I mean, I had no idea how small the town was until I saw the actual video. And I'm wondering, like, what's it like for, you know, people walking down the street? Did anyone go like, well, why are they filming this chick? Or do they know who you are and they're not surprised by it? Or like, what's that process like?
They probably wouldn't be, you know, because of COVID, like Justin and I headed downtown, you know, in my little town and, to show him a couple of things that I had on some buildings. And, you know, that usually on Saturdays, there's a lot of foot traffic. A lot of people come from around the world to this little town. Mm-hmm. There's Cajun jams and there's bands sometimes playing and there's Zydeco breakfast happening, but it's pretty low key now because of COVID. However, as soon as we got downtown, a new coffee shop just opened and the lady poked her head out and was, hey, if you guys need anything, water or whatever. Well, we ended up going in and she gave us the whole spiel. They're doing like custom blends of coffee. Yeah, like coffee tasting and some desserts. She sat us down and like fed us and gave us coffee and wanted our feedback. And so I was like, this is the kind of thing that happens here.
Yeah.
In this little town. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a really neat experience coming from Southern California where everybody sucks.
Yeah, exactly. Like everyone does not want to interact with anyone, right?
Yeah, I had to like practice waving to all their neighbors as I would drive in this morning.
Yes.
Oh, we smile at each other here. Okay.
Right.
But yeah.
Wait, when you say hi, it's not weird? Oh, okay, cool. Yeah,
Do I say hi back? yeah, the coffee, there's a couple shots of Brandy getting coffee, but that was like, we just stopped to take some video of something she was showing me that she had made. And this lady's like, hey, are you looking for my coffee shop? And I'm like, no. Really? Come on inside. She just gave us all this free coffee and brownies and it was so nice. It was just so kind of her to just do that because she's like, oh, I just want practice serving people, which is like she was great at. I don't know what she had to practice at, but yeah, it was fun. Brandy and I, the last thing on the agenda that day was to go get some drive-through daiquiris, which you can get drive-through.
Oh, yeah, which what?
Yes,
so, like, it was so nice of this lady to do this, but also it was like, let's go.
All right, here's I like my cocktails, but like it's so backwards to have a drive-through drinking station, right? Like,
no,
but I love it. I love it.
It's you got to bring someone from out of town there. You know, I take it for granted. It's not a novelty. It's a novelty to other people, but it's basically like a snowball with alcohol in it. It's so sweet, you know.
Ah, yeah.
Rum.
Brandy's family was like, "You guys don't have drive-through,
right? Right."
They had no idea. I was like, "Yeah, this is weird," and like, "Nah, that's weird on you guys."
Now, Justin, did you have crawfish?
I did. I had crawfish, as you say, made by Brandy herself.
Very good. Listen to his pronunciation.
I know.
Brandy.
I've been saying this since, well, I mean, I've always wanted to have crawfish, but I've been saying this to Brandy. So Brandy and Corey, Corey's her husband, are two of my favorite people of all times, as I've said before. And Justin knows this from the picture that he sent me of me and Corey's romantic dinner at Wolf and John the second year.
Context, because you know your audience isn't going to know
what
you're talking about. But I go upstairs, and I don't know that Brandy and Ethan are homies. I know that Brandy was on your podcast, but other than that, you know, you guys are two separate people. All of her work, like we're recording, we're making a video, and she pulls out this poster size of you, Ethan, and her husband Corey with bibs on at a dinner. What is going on here? Because I'd already fallen in love with Corey in that short amount of time. And then it was like, here's Ethan. Like, where does Ethan come in? What? Yeah, what's he doing?
That's hilarious. Yeah, so Justin sends me, I just get this text. I knew that Justin was coming down because Brandy told me, but I get this text the next morning from Justin just being like a picture of Brandy holding this picture and being like, I don't even think you sent any text with it. It was just like, the picture is worth 1,000 words, right?
Yes. Oh, man.
Good times.
That was one of the things that she sent you in your story, Brandy, the next day after you were on the show the last time. I remember you posted the picture and you messaged me and said, hey, look in the background. Do you see it? Look in the background. You see it? And I'm like, oh my God, that's amazing.
It's the same picture.
real quick backstory. So we were at WorkbenchCon, not this past year, but the year before. And Corey was there that year. And me and Corey went to a Ben Ueda's concrete class. And we made these things. And I spent the whole time just picking Mike Clifford's ear on a project that I wanted to work on. And so at the end, last minute, I was like, I got to make a project. So I made this horrendously ugly. It was basically like a plastic bowl with a plastic cup on top, made it into a vase, and it was the most horrendous thing ever. But it was so ugly that I just ended up carrying it around with me the entire night and taking shots out of the little thing. And so I told Corey, I was like, oh, and then we had dinner, right? Yeah, we were having dinner, and there was like these little like fake candles, and so we put my little ugly concrete thing and put a candle on top, and that's how the picture happened. So
Brandy, I know that this video, I mean, so Justin, again, don't take this the wrong way, but as far as the people I know, this is the first video I've watched that a large chunk of the people I follow on Instagram really started sharing. I feel like this is one that really clicked for some people. And well, I'm just wondering, what kind of reaction have you been, and but actually this goes for both of you, but you know, Brandy also, what kind of reaction have you been getting? Like, do people feel like they learned something new about you, or is this kind of an angle on you that they'd never seen?
Definitely. I think, I don't know if anyone really understood what I did. I'm not sure. You know, I've been on Instagram since 2012, and I don't have very many followers. But I don't know. This showed a different side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know.
And Justin, what about you? How's this doing as far as like reaction? Like, what's the general consensus been?
There's definitely something special about this video. The first video I put out on this channel was Philip Morley, and
mm-hmm.
a lot of people shared it. So that goes back to how cool and supportive this community was. Like,
that was the one that. That was the one that Chris recommended to us when
yeah,
he was on.
That's
that
right.
Was,
yeah.
That's how we found out
exactly.
about you.
So there you go. Mm-hmm. Yet another example of people just being so supportive and cool. Like, I was blown away when that happened. So with Brandy, it started to happen again. I'm like, whoa, like cool. Like, everybody's awesome. But then I started getting, Instagram will let you know when somebody posted in their story, people I don't even know and I don't even follow. And like, they have like 30,000 followers. And I'm like, whoa, man, this is... really something. And just the comments that I was getting about it and the compliments people had for the subject were just kind of beyond what I had seen previously. Like, it was just definitely a very special video.
Feel that way. I'm not just saying it because I know both of you. It really did feel like this one popped off in a special kind of way compared to the other ones. Not that the other ones weren't any good, just that this one just had a buzz, like everyone was talking about this video very shortly after it was released too.
Yeah, it was neat. I was
it's my accent,
Brandy. Dude, so Brandy, just so you know, my friend Ant is huge, he loves your accent, and he actually when we talked about your video last week, he actually messaged me, he goes, man, I could just sit there and listen to her accent all day long. So maybe that's what it is. Maybe you just got to get more Cajuns on. I mean,
maybe so. My sister was there. She has cute dimples. Maybe that's what people like about the video.
Well, I do think the end of the video where the you guys redid the Call Me Maybe theme song. That's pretty classic right there.
Yeah, it was pretty fun.
Damn good.
Yeah, that was fun. I really appreciated that. That was funny.
Yeah, it was, I don't want to talk forever about one of your videos because you do have a pretty good catalog of videos, but there was something, like I said, it wasn't just that, you know, we know Brandy and we know you. It's just, there was something about this video, like the there was like chemistry. Mm-hmm. Even though you're not in there, like you captured, I guess it's because I didn't really know the other people that you did, but I knew Brandy. And it's like, oh, I'm seeing someone I know getting captured in a way that I would expect them to be captured, like the nuance and the, you know, the detail on the work and just letting her talk about her work. And I didn't even realize, by the way, Brandy, that what those rings were for. Like, I kind of knew they were like cross stitch rings, but I didn't understand when you were on. And when you showed the close up of you showing them with the pictures, I was like, oh, I finally get it now. Okay. And it was so nice. It was just such a, I don't know, Morley would use the word cozy. And if a video could be cozy, this video was very, very cozy. Well, and there was a warmth to it.
Yeah, the thing is that Justin let my personality shine. He didn't edit out the funny. He didn't flatten it out because that's not who I am. He portrayed me perfectly. And like some of these shots, I'm like, I didn't even see you get this. What were you?
He's a ninja.
I don't know. Yeah, a ninja. Exactly.
But again, I think that's to your credit, Justin. You shouldn't know that it's happening. You're just capturing the reality, right?
That's definitely the goal. Anytime I'm shooting a video that's documentary style, that's what I want to do, and it really worked out. Like, Brandy was able to be herself and be comfortable, and that was super cool. That was a lot of fun. We didn't really know each other. We exchanged, you know, friendly conversation here and there. So this was me going into, you know, a foreign situation, as it, you know, often is. But it was the same for Brandy. She was welcoming someone into her life that she didn't really know. And man, we just had a blast from the start.
Like, awesome.
I got there at midnight on a Friday night. And I was expecting, I'm going to go to my Airbnb because who's up then? I go to her place, her whole family's there. And they're all just like, I open the door and they just all scream. And I'm like, all right, well, that's
welcome like to the family, Justin.
Yeah. Did you feel like you should have had a big check in your hand with balloons?
Teddy Graham.
Yeah, Dream Makeover Home Edition.
So my niece had just played a little show. She's a musician. And I had cooked gumbo in anticipation of Justin's arrival. So,
This is why I want to visit Brandy.
Really?
Oh my God. The food alone.
So I told the girls, my sister and her daughter, come by and eat before, you know, I said, and Justin will be here soon. And so when he did arrive, I opened the door and I said, everyone, this is Justin. And then they just,
that's awesome.
Justin, you guys are real
too
hard.
Excited, man.
It's gonna be real hard. That's like you're, you know, like George Costanza, like he left the room after he's like, I'm leaving on top.
Yeah, exactly.
That reaction, right. That's a tough one, man.
He just drives back to Texas. He's like, exactly. Like,
all right, good. We're good. I don't need the video.
No, man, they were great though. So we hung out and had a good time Friday night, and then woke up and just kept a casual shot of video. And at night, man, it was just. It was a really fun day altogether. Like, I just loved the culture and the history of where Brandy lives.
Well, I think that also is like that. I think that's part of what shows through in your video too. Again, whether it's subconscious or not, like you, I felt the whole video that you were enjoying it too, right? Behind the camera was enjoying it as much as in front of the camera.
How long was the total shoot? So you got there Friday night. So obviously you started shooting Saturday. So I imagine you shot all through the day Saturday. And I guess that musical part was Saturday night. I know you came home. I'm pretty sure you came home. You were on your way home on Monday, right?
Sunday. I left on Sunday. So I was only there for two nights.
Oh, gotcha.
Like one full day. So I don't know, Brandy. I think we met up at like 10:30.
Yeah. Yeah, and, it wasn't super early.
Leisurely. Leisurely.
Well, I mean, yeah, we were up the night before, so it was not a whole time. But
well, and I mean, it's not like he had the camera in his hand the whole time. He just got, I don't know.
Right.
Like I said, when did you even shoot? I didn't even notice you shot this.
Yeah, I don't know. We like probably spent half an hour talking about what we were going to do. And usually when I shoot these things, it's like, hey, let's get the interview out of the way because
that's the most
part that I'm all going to be most nervous about. And it's not like, I'm not really nervous about it, but it's not something I'm like totally excited about because, you know, you guys are shooting a podcast, you know, just to constantly be thinking about people's responses and how to follow up that and make sure that you get everything. And what if Brandy's awkward and doesn't know what to say? And blah, blah, blah. I just want to get Brandy's that like, over.
I fully expected that.
It feels that way about me every week.
So. Yeah, so it's interview, and then it's like, all right, let's get shots of you working. Let's show what you do. And then after that, all right, show me your life. Let's do it. So after that, we hop in the car. And
that was the easy part.
Yeah, that part's fun. So it's kind of hard to say like what the actual shoot time was because the last – video clip I shot that day was at like 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Which was them singing. Yeah. The last video clip I shot was actually the kind of song that's at the end of the video.
They Call Me Maybe.
Fleetwood Mac.
The singing in the kitchen.
Fleetwood Mac. Yeah. Well, I don't know who sent it to me, but I got a couple of clips, behind the scene clips where Justin was actually in the video. So I don't know. Yeah. You must send it to me, Brandy. I don't know who sent it to me. But I was like, I got some behind the scene footage.
That's right. Yeah. I wish I would have taken more.
It was the time of life, but Brandy and I already have an official scheduled date of which I will be returning because I had so much fun.
Oh, oh boy. Yeah.
That's and fantastic. The adoption papers are in the mail, so just go ahead and sign them.
I thought you were going to adopt me, Brandy.
Well, Corey can adopt you. And then I'll adopt Justin, and then we're one big happy family.
Why not? Hey, it's current year. We can make
some maker Brady Bunch.
Yes, exactly.
Brandy, thank you so much for popping in. Oh, I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Brandy,
for having me.
We had to. As soon as Justin was scheduled, I was like, I said to Ethan, I was like, you know what would be really cool? If we had Brandy just pop in out of nowhere and just talk about that video with him on.
That was awesome, guys. I love that. Right. Brandy, I'm so glad that you were on.
Oh,
we're gonna hit the break. We're gonna hit the halftime show for a little bit. Brandy, stay on for a bit. We'll talk a little bit during the halftime show. Okay. And we will be back after this word from our sponsors. If your home is feeling a little bit drab and uninspired, maybe it just needs a touch of art. Creative Ward Gallery is run by friend of the show, Marion Ward, who does Bob Ross-inspired landscapes in acrylic and oil, and will even do custom commissions to suit your mood or decor. Check her out at Instagram.com/CreativeWardGallery. And if you mention you heard about her on Because We Make, she'll ship your piece for free in the United States. What are you waiting for? Dress up your home today. So, Justin, the question that's on everyone's mind is, if you could interview, now that you've had a couple under your belt, and I feel like you've really kind of nailed down what you want to do, and who would you like to have as a guest that, you know, you feel like would be like, whoa, that would be really cool. Do you have anyone yet now that you've been exposed to the community for a while? Is there anyone where you're like, wow, that would be really cool to talk to this person because I really dig their work?
I mean, the obvious answer would probably be Duresta. I think that I just think we jive well. I met him a little bit. I met him in a hotel room at WorkbenchCon.
Oh, it's okay. Ethan met him in an elevator, so it's fine.
Yeah. I heard about that.
That sounds way dirtier than it actually.
No, I heard it on your podcast.
Rumor has it Ethan meets makers on elevators. That's his new podcast that he's going to branch off from. This is Because We Meet on Elevators.
I mean, I guess Nick Offerman would be cool, even though, like, I don't know if I'd really consider him, like, much part of the community because he doesn't really, like, hang around in the community. It seems like he appreciates the solitude, but...
I would actually really like to see you do something on Jimmy Duresta because... This is why. Because I feel like so many people have interviewed him. He's been on so many podcasts. He's done TV shows, all those things. And I think you'd have a different spin on him that would be really, really... interesting and cool.
Like a proper documentary on Jimmy rather than a Q&A interview about his origin story, you know?
Right. People love his vlogs and stuff like that. And I think that, understandably, I think he has an interesting life and all those types of things. But I think you'd be able to put a different shadow, a different light on it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I would like to be able to push a little further and not just show what we've already seen 100 times.
Right.
Doesn't that feel like that's, I almost feel like that's our mission too. Like it's kind of hard when you have someone that everyone knows, and to kind of find that new angle, right. You know, to not just pick at the same scab over and over and over again. Like it's almost like we almost take it as a personal challenge.
Like, not the same interview.
We jokingly said that we wanted to have Jimmy on, but then only talk about burritos. You know, because the running gag with him and the burritos, like the burrito guillotine and all that. And you seem to nail that down. Like you do a good job of letting the personality come out rather than, oh, you know, here's the question. We have to find out about this. Like you don't do that. You just let people tell a story. So,
yeah, there's some simplicity to it, though, is before I go there, I kind of let them know what my agenda is, or I guess itinerary would be a better word. I like to let them show me what their life is, and then I just kind of have the camera rolling. So, you know, I tell them, like, whether it's your favorite cafe or, you know, nature spot, your favorite vista, just something like, how do you want your life to be portrayed? How do you want to show us what you're all about, as opposed to me saying like, okay, like let's you know, get a shot of your ice picks and, you know, you win.
Right.
Right. Do you storyboard these at all? Like, do you have like, do you have a rough plan for what you're going to do, or do you just shoot it and then assemble the footage logically afterwards? Like, how do you approach each video? Do you have I guess basically what I'm asking is how much is planning and how much is, this is the footage I got. Let me make the video based on the footage.
It's not a lot of planning, to be frank with you. It's with documentary, you have the luxury of, maybe people would consider it a handicap, but I consider it a luxury. The luxury of editing, of creating the story after the fact. The story can often be created in the editing. So I can walk away from an interview and think like, okay, these are some pretty generic answers, but throughout the day, these things happen. And if I put the answer to this question, not rewording it by any means whatsoever, but if I make this the ending while, you know, showing these visuals of them being passionate about something, them doing something, you know, like Brandy's video as an example again. She's talking about the support from her husband and whatnot, and her mom, and while that's happening, you see visuals of these people, they're dancing, they're having a good time. And that has an effect on people.
Yeah.
And that's what her life is. So it's a bit more of me just kind of giving them what I'm looking for. And, they show it to me. It's kind of, I mean, the way I think about it, I think it's pretty simple. Other than that, I come in with a notebook, and just make some notes. I've been doing this long enough that the questions that I ask are kind of all in my head, and I'll just ask follow-up questions if anything sounds interesting.
Do you generally ask everyone, like, do you have the same questions you ask, and then your follow-up is what differentiates it, or do you kind of let it fly? I mean, I'll be honest with you. I joke with people that I have a legal pad next to me whenever we do this show, and there's nothing on it. It's only just in case I need to take notes of something while we're talking, but we don't go into this at all with pre-planned questions.
Oh,
just
never.
Where the conversation goes. Right. So is that kind of your strategy too? Like, you have some baseline questions and you just hope for the best?
Exactly. Like, the baseline questions are, you know, how do you get started, which is not one that I really want to like spend half the video on, because, you know, that's what they get asked most, and that's what we hear the most from people. But starting there, you know, we can go a separate way. So when I do Philip Morley, here's a fine furniture maker who is all about precision, accuracy, cleanliness. Then you take Erin, Maker Gray, and she's all about DIY builds. She respects fine woodworking, but she wants nothing to do with it. So those questions, as far as their work goes, you know, totally differ. And of course, everybody has different lives and who supports them and whatnot. Like, I like to ask about where they derive their motivation from. And some people have a big family lingering around. Some people don't. So you kind of have to adapt to people that way.
So I think that.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I think that's interesting. Well, and I was thinking back to the Jimmy Dresta again, only because I think that's a really interesting avenue to take. And so the thing about Jimmy Dresta is you don't know much about his like actual life. Like, again, and maybe he's not comfortable sharing that, but you don't know a lot about Taylor, right? You don't know a lot about his, like, he wakes up. I mean, you do from the his podcast and stuff like that. But, like, that's what's interesting. So if you can tap into that, and again, it's, you know, not everyone's that open, but, like, that would be a really interesting thing to see his, you know, his relationship with Taylor. I don't think anyone really knows, you know, sees that. And that might be purposeful. And that's fine. And, you know, he should have that privacy. But it's a different angle, right?
The most I know about her is when they go to Walmart. I feel like that's the right. only time we really get a good look at what Taylor and him, you know, what their life is actually like.
And she's a phenomenal, she's actually one of my favorite designers. I really love when she posts her work. But to your point, Justin, is it's like, it's not about asking Jimmy Dress about being on Making It or Dirty Jobs or whatever his show was. You know, it's not about that. It's like, it's what is his day to day. And I think that's a really cool angle. And his day to day includes people that are important in his life. And like, you know what? That's sometimes that's more important than what he's actually making.
Absolutely. I'm right with you there.
So somebody who does documentaries, you know, people who are really into that space, there's always, and I know this is going to come off as the most cliche question ever, but I'm generally curious. Who would you consider your inspirations, or is there anyone that you model your production after? Is there somebody you look at and go, that's what I want my product to kind of be at least derivative of? If not, you know, not exactly a copy, but that's what I want to be like. That's what I want my stuff to look like.
I wouldn't say there's any one person, but I'm also not going to sit here and say, oh, it's totally original. It's all me. I think it's just the movies I've gravitated towards. And I think working in music, and I just loved music videos as a kid, I really kind of paid attention to how things are cut and shot. Yeah, it's really difficult for me to say like this one person. But again, I don't want to come off as pretentious because I didn't invent something.
You're in the company of friends. That's fine. that's amazing. I mean, it's just, you have such an interesting background and such an interesting way of looking at a community. I feel like you've almost put on some x-ray specs and shown us our community in a way that is almost like so different that it's like, oh, I've never looked at people this way, you know?
Well, I'm also happy to hear that. Like, even though we talk about ourselves in, you know, this great grand scheme of we are awesome and we're supportive, it's nice, and that's not always the case, but it's nice to hear that at least it's somewhat true. You know?
Absolutely. Like, yeah. I said, WorkbenchCon got me excited. Like, everybody was so nice. Everybody was so cool to hang out with that I just couldn't wait to start telling you guys the stories.
Well, for me, too, it was like, I was excited when I met you and then I watched your work. I was so excited about someone that was doing what you're doing, you know, like, and I think, I don't know, again, maybe I'm blinded by the light, but I just feel like we are a community of people that really appreciate people of talent and just that are intrigued by talent or creativity,
Right there. No, that you nailed it. People who are intrigued by talent. There's, you know, I know the running joke with us is, you know, there are people who are curious about everything and then there are people who are curious about nothing. But I think that as makers, I think that's exactly what it is, whether it's a talent that we have or not. You know, I'm not a documentarian. I'll never be a documentarian. I'm just not, it's not my bag, but I love watching a good documentary.
Right.
Like, and I can appreciate the talent involved. I'm not a fine woodworker. But when Chris Salamone makes an incredible table with incredible precision and he makes crazy, crazy joints that just fit together on the first try, I can appreciate that in a way that, you know, even though I don't do that, I can appreciate it because that's kind of what we do. And, you know, Justin, it's kind of the same with you. You know, I watch your documentaries and it's like, you know, I'm not a documentarian, but I totally, totally appreciate the amount of skill and effort that goes into making something that is worth watching.
Yeah, I appreciate that a lot. And I felt that way when I started getting into this, like, keep going back to WorkbenchCon, but people would, it's so cool. People just walk up to you like, hey, what are you all about? And I'm like, you know, not in a standoffish way, but just like, oh, I haven't met you yet. I'm like, oh, well, I don't do anything that you guys do. I just kind of take photos of what you guys do. What do you do? And like, I think he goes by JT Woodworks.
That was my Maker Shirt.
That was Maker Shirt Monday.
Yeah, Maker Shirt Monday. That was my Maker Shirt Monday.
There you go. He was one of these people that just walk up to me, you know, and just said that. And then he explained to me what he did. I'm like, cool. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Miko?
Neat. I just learned something. I like, right. That looks cool, man. I would have never known that existed. Again, not to be pretentious, but this is so far removed from me.
So how far are you scheduled now for the remainder of the year? Or do you have your next one scheduled where you're going to start shooting? Or
he's going to start driving tonight to Boston.
Yeah, I do not have, maybe I do. I don't know. With the whole COVID thing.
I know. Like, everything's
Yeah, I don't
the know horizon either. Is empty.
Yeah, so I have one that is like 95% shot.
Great.
That's on, I guess I can say it. It's Frank Straza. He's a fine woodworker out here in Texas.
Cool.
So that'll be, you know, on the fine woodworking side of things. I have some people lined up, but again, COVID.
You never know.
Yeah, COVID and right.
Well, you roll the die. I'm glad. I'm just curious because I want to make sure. And like, who the hell am I? But I really want to make sure that this is, you know, we're not going to have to wait like 6 months for the next one. Like, I'm kind of excited now. I feel like I liked your videos before, but I feel like I said, seeing someone I know in one of your videos has made me like itchy to see the next one now. It's like, come on, let's go.
And it was great when I first started. I was putting one out every other week, and I knew that wasn't sustainable. I knew that was not going to keep happening, but.
I know you've done pictures. Have you done a video on Jordan? And I might be.
Yeah, Jordan was my second episode.
Okay, see, I got to go back and watch because I didn't see Jordan's.
Yeah, that was a while ago. That's a, you know Jordan's personality. That one's kind of a fun one.
He's hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah. So
Growler.
He is one of a kind.
Yeah, he really is. He's one of a kind. He's a handful to say the least.
The first time he and I had a conversation. It was just like, I feel like I'm talking to an old friend. I met this guy like 20 minutes ago and is like, Jordan? He's such a nice guy.
He is a super nice guy. And
he's terrifying.
He just changed his hair color to the color of our podcast. So
no way.
Yeah, he just dyed his hair purple last week. So
there you go. It's the purple posse. You know, Nick has his cupcake army. We have the purple posse. There we go. Let's go into the video of the week. So this is the first time we've ever done this, but we figured, you know, since we had a pro with us, we could do it. But we don't usually tell, which is probably really terrible.
Yeah, I probably don't actually.
Actually, I realized it. I think it was it the Wesley episode where we talked about the video of the week, and I was like, he has no idea what we're talking about. I was like, this really.
Well, that happened last week too. Grant had no idea that we were talking about Justin's video. Yeah. So.
From now on, when we have a guest, we're actually going to prompt them to know what the video of the week is. So Justin is actually the first guest we've ever had.
So much history. I've made so much dang history.
You have. It's a legendary.
The first ambush, the first video of the week known by a guest. Like, the only thing you can't ever have is because, and it's because Chris had it.
The first Zencast episode.
Oh, right. Our first episode was Zencast.
And I was the first guest you announced the week before. So I'm just killing it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be like, it's like when you look in the stat books and it's just like, you know, Barry Bonds, Barry Bonds, Barry Bonds, Barry Bonds, you know, it's going to be, you're the Barry Bonds of Because We Make.
Well, that's a good segue too, to the video of the week.
Right. So the video of the week this week, so I watched it this morning before I went to work because that's what I do. I eat breakfast and I watch YouTube and play Animal Crossing because, you know, sometimes I get up before Beth does. And if I do, there's no way I can go down into the shop and start playing with power tools. So I play Animal Crossing, I pet my cat, and I watch YouTube. And so this morning, this video comes across my my subscriptions, and it's like, no way. There's no way he did this. So was it you that recommended? I think it was you that recommended this channel. The channel's called Stuff Made Here.
And maybe, yeah.
I think it was, I don't remember, it was you or maybe it was one of our guests. I'm not 100%
sure. I mean, I've definitely been watching his channel, so.
Found out about it on this podcast from someone, either Ethan or a guest. I'm not sure.
But I'm going to take credit because I'm
He awesome. Did a video where he wanted to make a bat, a baseball bat that could hit a home run.
Basically for us nerds that can't hit a baseball.
Yes. Yeah, so and this is what makes the video particularly great. So guys, I'm just telling you, if you like to play baseball and you know how to swing a bat and you know about stances, watching this video is going to be painful. Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you. Yes. He's a good dude and has like no technique whatsoever.
Right.
And he was still driving the ball 350 feet. Which is
I think he even hit 400 something.
So that was what he was going for next. He said he topped out at like 350. He said if he adds a fourth, or I think it was if he added a fourth shell, he could easily hit the home run record. It's like, so basically what he did was he spun a bat and then he essentially loaded it with ammo, and the ammo fired simultaneously when the ball hit the sweet spot, and it just launched the ball.
Basically like a cannon almost, right? Like,
It was crazy because at one point he blew the bat apart. At one point in the testing, he blew the mechanism apart. And you start understanding just how much power he's working with this video. But the video is great. One of the things that's terrific about this guy is his delivery is just so deadpan. Like there's maybe a hint of a smile at one point in the video. And that's as far as he'll ever go. Like maybe a slight chuckle. But he's just this deadpan, dead serious looking engineer type dude, and he makes killer machines.
Like,
it's a great channel, and this video is absolutely spectacular.
It scared the crap out of me.
I have absolutely talked enough about it, so if y'all have any input, feel free.
Everything you said, it's a great video. It's a great, you know, it's his style, which is great. Mm-hmm. To your point, deadpan. Yeah, I mean, even the beginning of the video where, what's the brand? I'm totally blanking on the brand.
Wasn't Laguna? No,
it wasn't Laguna.
I have Laguna on the brand.
One brand.
Tormac. Yeah.
You got a Tormac 24R. That's what.
Yes,
it was.
And he had to like work it down into his shop, and like just that alone was hilarious. Watching him like use,
the conversation with his wife was also
right. Funny. Yeah. So it was a very funny video, and like. Yeah. But the whole video, yeah, everything Vincent said the whole time, though, when he was actually hitting the bat, I'm like, there's going to be a piece of wood that breaks off of that bat that's going to like stab you in the neck and kill you.
Yeah,
like,
you're going to get vampire stabbed.
Exactly. I was super nervous the entire time, and mostly because I'm super clumsy and I would do that to myself without any kind of mechanism. But anyways, yeah, very cool video. To your point, his delivery is really good. Mm-hmm. Deadpan, very funny. Really,
the overall style is fantastic.
Yeah, very good style. Yeah,
mm-hmm. I do want to say, as a resident videographer, that clearly he shot it himself.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But I think it goes to show that like you could make a 14-minute long video that's entertaining to people such as myself who are completely removed from this, just by just these small things that like you know they might seem small, but like he's clearly thought of. I think he did such a great job at keeping it interesting and fun.
Right.
He didn't seem like he's like supremely energetic in front of the camera and throws his hands around. Yo, what's up, guys?
Right.
He was still being himself and found a way to make it work without having to hire out, you know, do anything crazy. I thought it was great for somebody who like, you know, 14-minute video of somebody making something isn't necessarily my cup of tea. I think he did a killer job. I thought it was so funny and it was so entertaining. Just
yeah,
what he made in general was awesome.
It's ridiculous, but hilarious. Yeah, and you're right. I mean, there's not like crazy edits. There's not crazy like transitions. It's not about the video itself. It's about kind of just the humor of it, as well as the ridiculousness of it.
And that's what makes his videos great. It's just here I am doing a ridiculous thing using incredible amounts of engineering.
Right.
Like the last video he made, the haircut machine. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I remember watching that video going, he's going to cut his freaking head off. Like I was just waiting for the robot to just cut his head off.
Well, again, I'm sorry, but like every one of his videos, I'm like, if I tried to do this, understand, like, first of all, I couldn't even get to that point. But even if I could get to that point, I would cut my head off. Like I would, I'd totally scalp myself, or I would, the bat would like, yeah, penetrate my body somehow. So
one of the most striking things was at one point in the video, he was calculating the force that the rounds of ammo would put out. And he was just, he showed the calculations.
On the like whiteboard or kind
of. It looked like the GIF of the blonde woman with the numbers floating around her face. Like, that's what it looked like to me. I'm like, I have no idea what he's doing. And he knows what everything on here is. It's freaking amazing.
Or at least he tells us he does. But
I mean, right, one last exactly thing I was thinking about as I was watching, and this goes against like the whole like maker code of safety first. You know, that is like the motto is safety, safety, safety.
Yeah.
But for photographers and videographers is do what you got to do to get the shot.
Right.
So like going into this world, like, man, like wood turning, I would just stand right in front of the wood chips and just take it. And those shots would look sick. So I've just, you know, I've done some things in my day like that people have just, even Instagram posts where people are like, that is so dangerous. I'm like, did you just see that video clip?
It was amazing.
It was so totally worth it, man.
I loved what this guy was doing. And he was being safe about it. He wasn't being irresponsible.
No,
I love just the aspect of just like.
I feel like if, Justin, if April ever tells you that that's dangerous, you probably should listen, because I feel like she doesn't care that. And, you know, she's pretty.
Yeah. Whatever. And there have been a couple of times where I'm like, hey, if I did this, if I was like this close to the dangerous thing you're doing, what's a possibility?
And she's like, nah.
It's I kind of just like, I let her give me the, here's kind of the gamble you're taking. And then
you make your own decision from that point. But
yeah.
How many, real quick, how many times, like, she always posts like the sporadic dance sessions that you guys do. Yeah. How often does that happen? Because that is always so hilarious.
It does seem like it would probably happen a lot. Let's be honest.
Yeah, we definitely hang out a lot, and those things just happen. Man, when you're around people like that for that long,
right?
Happen, man, I've talked to friends and, you know, people I've dated along the way, and like what we're talking about at work, like, you guys talk about that, like. We're with each other for at least 40 hours a week. Like, we talk about everything. So
you're basically family at that point. I mean,
yeah, man, exactly. So dancing and all that, like, you got.
Yeah, that last one. I don't know what his name is. The guy, he came down the ladder and then he started dancing. You're at the water cooler.
Yeah, exactly.
That thing was so funny. I just crack up every time I see one of those videos.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. The people we have out there are such great people. We have David and Jake who are constantly helping, and those guys are so rad to hang out with. And they're
that's awesome.
Yeah.
I digress. Sorry.
No, it's cool. It's actually, you know, it's weird, but loving what you do is easy. Loving where you work is usually the hard part.
Yeah.
Like, totally. I love what I do. Mm-hmm. I don't always love where I do it. So
right.
I, you know, to have that, you know, that mix, I don't want to say it's one in a million, but for a lot of people it is. Like, they like their job and they don't like where they work, or they like where they work, but they hate what they do there. You know, mm-hmm. I've been in both situations over the years, and you seem to like what you do and where you do it, which is like, wow, you're a lucky guy, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, I will also take it a step further. I learned at a young age that, like, oftentimes you don't quit jobs, you quit bosses.
So
So April's such a great person to have as an employer and to be around and work with. It's really great. It's awesome.
I heard somebody say that once, and I thought about it. I'm like, yeah, you know, I've never actually quit a job because of the job. I don't think I've ever left a job. I think I've been like, yeah, I don't want to deal with you anymore, goodbye.
Yeah. No, totally.
Wow. I like that. I do like that phrase. That's mm-hmm. That's one of my favorites, actually.
That's good.
Let's go into thing of the week. And
the week.
I may have ill prepared Justin for it, but I think he would have something ready.
Is it my turn? Do I go now?
Yeah, we let the guests go first. But we could skip you if you're not ready.
It's good. It's a lot of pressure because, man, I just have so many friends. I decided to go with, since I'm kind of outside of this realm of making, I'm going to kind of twist it and offer up a different kind of maker who isn't a friend. So I'm totally in the clear because I'm leaving everybody out of this.
Nice.
Ooh. Yeah. So I've been seeing, I moved to Texas in January, and I've seen chain stitch embroidery on clothes and all sorts of different things. And I think it's this kind of cool, neat thing that's going on. And there's a gal that's local out here. She goes by Moon Devil Threads, and she makes some really cool
Moon Western Devil thing. Threads.
Yeah, at Moon Devil Threads on Instagram, and I think that's her website too, .com. But she makes these really cool southern looking patches.
Oh, wow.
And it's all hand stitched, chain stitched by hand embroidery. And I just think it's really neat. I bought some online from her and threw them on a couple jackets. And I just think they're sick.
Jackets to follow right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm just going to.
This stuff is amazing.
Yeah. That's incredible work. Wow.
Whoa. Yeah. All right. Well, there's a new follow for me.
That's a good one. Well,
okay, and now this is
for exactly someone who didn't have something coming in. That was a pretty solid.
And this is crazy nice. Because this is exactly what we were talking about before, where we can appreciate talent. Even like I don't do this, but I'm following her now because this stuff is incredible.
Totally. I feel like it still falls along the lines of making, but just not traditionally, at least right. within our community, what we're used to seeing. But man, I think it's cool stuff. I like to.
Yeah, I keep scrolling as we're talking.
Oh my God. It just gets, it's funny. Usually as you get to the beginning, it gets a little weaker, but her work is just consistently awesome. Wow. Okay, yeah, Justin, good one.
Very
good.
That works. Cool. Well done.
I nailed it. Wow.
Yeah, oh, you absolutely.
First try.
All right, well, see you guys.
Go. I know yet again you get to go out on top. I'm gonna go next because mine isn't really maker related at all. Mine is actually a movie. I know, a movie from me. Everybody calm down. I'm actually recommending a movie. But so what's kind of become a tradition in our house is that on Saturday I become the entertainment director, Beth becomes the culinary director. So she makes dinner and she makes fresh popcorn and I find something for us to watch. And I've been doing pretty good lately. And I think I did particularly good on Saturday. So Amazon, I don't know if you guys have been watching the stuff that's on Prime Video, but Amazon has just been crushing face with their originals. Like their originals are, I'm going to say it, they're better than Netflix originals. They're just better. They get their audience. And there was a movie that just came out like a week or two ago called Radioactive. It's about Marie Curie.
I saw that.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
What's it about?
It's about basically Madame Curie and the discoverer of radioactivity. I mean, as straight up as it gets, it's the story from when she met Pierre all the way to the end of the story, which I won't spoil. I mean, she's a historical figure. I'm pretty sure you guys, if you know her name, then you know what happened. But it's just an incredibly touching.
And it's a movie. Shot. It's not a series. It's a movie.
It's an actual movie. It's okay. It's 2 hours.
Oh, nice.
And at the end of it, you're like, man, I wish there was more. Like, it's that good. It's really, really well done. It was very enjoyable. It's a story that I already knew. So seeing it brought to life. One of the coolest things is the lead, Marie Curie, is played by Rosamund Pike, who is one of the most beautiful women on this earth. I challenge anyone to find
women.
Rosamund Pike. Okay. She was in Gone Girl.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Absolutely stunning. And they aged her in such a weird way that it was almost uncomfortable to look at. Like, she looked like an older woman. And it was really just a amazing, amazing movie. Everything about it was great. The story was told, you know, sensitively. You know, it wasn't glamorized in any way, and there was a lot of raw emotion in it. They just nailed it. It was so good. I enjoyed it so much. It was like, I don't know what I want to watch, but I feel like this is going to be good, and it was amazing. So that is definitely my thing of the week because not only because I couldn't really think of a whole lot of others, but because it was just like Saturday night after it was over, I was like, oh man, I kind of wish it was a little bit longer. Like I wanted to see more of this.
No, I saw that come across my Amazon Prime today and I was like,
stellar.
All right, cool. I'm down.
Not just good.
I'm going to watch after.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not just good. Like I've seen a lot of good stuff. I've seen a lot of stuff that I've enjoyed. This is, I don't know. Maybe I'm just maybe I have terrible taste. Don't hate me if I'm wrong, but I'm telling you, I really loved it. I was
cool.
No, I actually was moved by it. It
no, you liked the Americans, so I
yeah, I like the Americans. I liked I like Fringe. You know, my TV picks are usually pretty good. My movie picks generally suck. This is a good one, I promise. Awesome. Okay, all right, Ethan, you're up.
All right, my thing. If you follow me on Instagram, this probably will not be a surprise. But my thing of the week is the Stitching Pony by the Wing and Wave Designs.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God. So
that thing's beautiful.
Yeah. So a Stitching Pony, anyone that doesn't know, a Stitching Pony is basically a thing for leather workers that it's like a clamp basically, but it holds the pieces of leather together while you stitch them. And so there's been a bunch of them out there. There's a lot of different versions. But Wing and Wave came up with one, his own version. And again, I love supporting, you know, smaller scale makers, and he has made an amazing product, way better than what I've seen elsewhere. So this Stitching Pony is amazing. It has the ability to give different angles as you're stitching, which again, if you don't know, that makes a difference. But yeah, it's just a really, really good product. I got it last week. It was my Maker Mail Monday last week, before we hit the podcast. But then this weekend I added my own touch, and yeah, it's phenomenal. So he's awesome. The product is awesome. And if you're a leather worker, you got to check it out. So Wing Wave Designs on Instagram.
It looks the business. Like I said, when I saw a whole bunch of people got them this week for some.
He does them in batches. Again, he's a small scale operation. Yeah. So he did about, I think he does like 10 at a time. And I think I got the 10th one in his last batch.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but
eased it in.
Yeah. But the other thing I love about it is it clamps to anything, and the mouth of the clamp is huge. It's probably about, I'd say it's about 6 inches, which can clamp to almost anything. So you can clamp it to your...
That's big for a Stitching Pony.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. No, there is absolutely no other Stitching Pony that has like a clamp mouth that big. So you can clamp it to anything. And so that just lets you stitch anywhere in the house, which, Vincent, we've talked about this before. That's one of my favorite things about stitching is I can hang out with patina while I do it, you know, and I don't have to be in my workshop. And so I can bring this up to the coffee table. I can bring it up to the counter, you know, whatever. So, hands down, awesome, awesome product, great craftsmanship, and shouts out to him. So
fantastic. So we'll have the link to that as usual in the show notes. So Justin,
yes,
what's next for you, buddy? I mean, I know you're going to keep doing the documentaries because they're fantastic. I know you're probably going to keep working for April because she's fantastic. Is there anything big on the horizon that we should know about, or
just?
It's okay if you say no. By the way, that's a stupid question. I'm sorry.
No, it's not a stupid question. I wish I had something lined up for you, but the documentary series is going to keep going. I'll push them out as quick as I can because I love shooting them. Like, you know, Brandy's, I shot one weekend and then I had it out 5 days later. Like, they excite me. I think that they're a lot of fun, so I'll just keep doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, we really do. I mean, I know we gushed a little bit, and I know we've had a good laugh, but seriously, your work is just, I'm never going to be able to do what you do, because I mean, maybe if I studied forever and worked on it forever, maybe, but just watching you go is just, it's fantastic. It's inspiring to see what the perspective on our community is from someone who's kind of, you know, tangential to the community. Like, it's not that we're not, you know, we're friends and, you know, whatever, but you're not a maker, and you see it with eyes that we don't see it with. And when you see the people, and it's fantastic. It shines through in all the stuff you do. And it's just a fantastic perspective that we kind of get lost sometimes.
Well, thank you. It's kind of surprising to hear put that way, but I appreciate it. But it goes both ways, man. The way just you guys, the maker community, see things, it's just, it's so outside of my world, man. Like, just what you guys might consider simple things, I wouldn't have the slightest idea on how to begin to create. So it's really fun for me to have the opportunity to document what everybody's doing and just all
have that. you have, just out of curiosity, you know, since you're spending time with one of the preeminent, you know, maker YouTubers so much, have you taken a crack with the tools at all, or is it just nope, cameras only?
Not really. Like, not really? Not as much as you would think. Like,
no, I feel like I've seen you. I feel like I've seen you do use some tools.
Anne, of all trades,
yeah,
she got me on a lathe for a little bit. We had like a little beginner's lesson on a lathe, so that was kind of fun. And then recently, I was at Greg Pennington's Windsor chair making school.
Oh my god, yes, yeah.
That guy's the best in his shop.
Oh my god, he's amazing, huh?
We always joke about making chairs being like almost impossible, so it was pretty cool.
So amazing.
It's crazy. When I first went to his place, first off, I was doing some stuff, just contract for Anne. And I'd already known Anne at this point, but I just could not get out of her like what I was doing there. I knew I was gonna be there for a week, so I go into Greg's shop. And I'm thinking I'm just meeting up with them, and then we're all going to go hang out in downtown Nashville. So I walk in like, oh, sup, dude. Your shop's pretty cool. It kind of looks like a studio, like for woodworking. But anyway, see you later. Like, and like, I think I commented on his chairs, and it wasn't as like crappy as I make it sound when I tell this story. But I was just kind of like, yeah, they're chairs. They look nice, but I don't really get it. It wasn't totally like that, but that was
pretty close.
I didn't realize I was going to be shooting a video at his place like for the next week.
And, oh, God.
Yeah, so.
Awkward.
Yeah, like I said, I don't know how it came off, but I really feel like it didn't come off that way. I pulled a Vincent.
I pulled a Vincent. So anyway, oh, boy.
5 days watching Greg teach and metal engraver Jenny Bauer how to make these beautiful chairs, like all with hand tools, and it was so nuts. And I thought it was so cool. I've been there several times since. I want to sign up for a class and bring my dad for like a Father's Day or birthday,
right?
And do that.
Yeah, totally.
So sick. And Greg is the coolest, funniest dude in the world. I forgot where I was going with that.
No, that's awesome.
All good, man. It's all good.
Where can we find you, Justin?
I am at _ call me maybe _. Maybe is MABIE. That's on Instagram and then YouTube. If you just look up call me maybe MABIE.
I gotta ask, just because I'd be lax in my duties as host to not ask that name. Were you worried at any point that people weren't going to take you seriously?
That kind of came before the fact. The same dude at Laguna who hired me for no reason. He was like, hey, dude, I build websites. You need a website for your portfolio. Let me get you a URL. What do you want to be called? And at the time, I was my Instagram was Maybe Media, and it was only like music stuff, and I hadn't done music for months. So it was kind of a dead account. Maybe Media really doesn't, like, it's so vague. And he's like, dude, call me Maybe is a URL that I can get on GoDaddy. And like, that was like my Snapchat username. I'm like, really? Like, that's what we're going to go with? And he's like, dude, nobody will forget it. It's going to get stuck in their heads. It'll be awesome. So I'm like, okay, whatever. Who cares?
Well, it worked. So it worked.
Yeah. So then once, I guess, this trip I was talking about with Greg and Anne, April was there for a little bit, and they're tagging me and all this stuff on this dead account. And at that point, it was like pretty sure that I was going to go work for April full time in a couple months. I was like, huh, this seems like a missed opportunity. So I kind of just put on the whole call me maybe thing, since that was my URL. And yeah, I guess I can credit Nick to that. But I think as far as a marketing standpoint goes, I know it's annoying, but it really does work. So many people at WorkbenchCon was like, dude, that song is stuck in my head because of your stupid.
I think it's hilarious. I think it's brilliant.
Yeah,
to be honest.
Nice. Like, anytime somebody says that, I'm like, cool, it worked. So
Right.
You have a jingle.
Yeah, exactly.
You have a jingle pre-made by one of the biggest pop stars.
Yeah, totally.
Charlie Ray Jepsen, right?
Yeah, that
really, very good.
Exactly.
I'm so hip with the.
So funny. Everybody remembers the song, and almost nobody remembers who sings it. It's freaking fantastic.
Yeah, no, like I remember, but I'm sure that has to do with my last name.
Not a coincidence.
Yeah, I don't know what happened with her, but I wish her the best, and I really.
Yeah, I feel like we're doing better, but I'm sorry.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Justin.
Yeah, thanks, Justin. It's
an absolute pleasure getting to talk to you and kiss your butt for a minute to make up for the time that I completely insulted you twice on the same episode.
Oh, God, but thanks so much for having me on. This is a blast. I really appreciate it.
It's been great talking to you. And, guys, just a reminder, it is the last chance. August 17th is coming. It's
one week.
Last chance to get in for the Enlighten Us Challenge. And, boy, if you thought it was going to be easy, you are out of your freaking mind, because we just keep getting entry after entry after entry. And I'm telling you, it's going to be worth it. We have a couple of prizes that we haven't announced yet, but in fact, we just got over the weekend. We got donated two more prizes from a loyal listener. So we are absolutely looking forward to getting all these together. And we are trying to figure out, we will have some kind of live stream the night before we record on September 2nd.
Right. I'm actually really not looking forward to picking a winner.
No, so, it's okay. And everyone that's seen the entries has basically told us they don't envy us, and I don't blame you. I don't envy me. I almost don't want to pick a winner. I almost want to say, hey, can we all just say like this was really fun and not have, but no, we'll pick a winner. We have prizes to give away. It's going to be awesome and everyone's going to have a great time. And we hope you'll join us on the live stream, which we will have. The week before we do it, we'll have details on how you can join us. And then that's going to do it for this week. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks for the continued reviews. We have been getting your reviews, but you know, we don't do those when we have guests on, because that would be rude if we sit here and kiss our own butts. We have guests on so we can kiss their butts. But we'll kiss our own butts another time. Have a great week, everybody. Keep the reviews coming. Keep the entries coming. Don't miss out. 11:59 Eastern, August 17th is the deadline. Don't miss it.
1 week, basically.
Don't miss it. Trust me. Enter. You're going to want to enter. Okay. Have a great one. Bye.